Today is the 14th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. I am grateful to be here with you today. It is an honor to come around the global campfire every day, to have a safe place in every day that we can go to and that we can rest in, but that we can also open ourselves to, because it's a safe place. We're just here to read the Bible, and we can allow the Bible to challenge us in a safe way, in a way that we can trust. And so I'm grateful and honored to be here with you today as we gather to take our next step forward. We're in the book of 1 Chronicles and in the book of Romans, and just getting going in the book of Romans. But first, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 37 through 18, verse 17. David left Asaph and his associates before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister there regularly, according to each day's requirements. He also left Obed-Edom and his 68 associates to minister with them. Obed-Edom, son of Jeduthun, and also Hosa were gatekeepers. David left Zadok the priest and his fellow priests before the tabernacle of the Lord at the high place in Gibeon to present burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering regularly, morning and evening, in accordance with everything written in the law of the Lord, which he had given Israel. With them were Heman and Jeduthun and the rest of those chosen and designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Heman and Jeduthun were responsible for the sounding of the trumpets and cymbals and for the playing of the other instruments for sacred song. The sons of Jeduthun were stationed at the gate. Then all the people left, each for their own home, and David returned home to bless his family. After David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent." Nathan replied to David, "Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you." But that night, the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their leaders whom I commanded to shepherd my people, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also subdue all your enemies. I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him, as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, Lord God? What is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, my God, you have spoken about the future of the house of your servant. You, Lord God, have looked on me as though I were the most exalted of men. What more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant, Lord. For the sake of your servant and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made known all these great promises. There is no one like you, Lord, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whose God went out to redeem a people for himself and to make a name for yourself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? You made your people Israel your very own forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord, let the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house be established forever. Do as you promised, so that it will be established and that your name will be great forever. Then people will say, 'The Lord Almighty, the God over Israel, is Israel's God.' And the house of your servant David will be established before you. You, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. So your servant has found courage to pray to you. You, Lord, our God, you have promised these good things to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, Lord, have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever." In the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them, and he took Gath and its surrounding villages from the control of the Philistines. David also defeated the Moabites, and they became subject to him and brought him tribute. Moreover, David defeated Hadadezer, king of Zobah, in the vicinity of Hamath, when he went to set up his monument at the Euphrates River. David captured 1,000 of his chariots, 7,000 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers. He hamstrung all but 100 of the chariot horses. When the Arameans of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David struck down 22,000 of them. He put garrisons in the Aramean kingdom of Damascus, and the Arameans became subject to him and brought him tribute. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. David took the gold shields carried by the officers of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. From Teba and Kun, towns that belonged to Hadadezer, David took a great quantity of bronze, which Solomon used to make the bronze sea, the pillars, and the various bronze articles. When Tou, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated the entire army of Hadadezer, king of Zobah, he sent his son Hadoram to King David to greet him and congratulate him on his victory in battle over Hadadezer, who had been at war with Tou. Hadoram brought all kinds of articles of gold, of silver, and of bronze. King David dedicated these articles to the Lord, as he had done with the silver and gold he had taken from all these nations: Edom and Moab, the Ammonites and the Philistines and Amalek. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, struck down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became subject to David. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. David reigned over all Israel, doing what was just and right for all his people. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was recorder. Zadok, son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, were priests. Shavshah was secretary. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was over the Keratites and Pelatites. And David's sons were chief officials at the king's side. Romans 2, 1-24. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then, who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Psalm 10, 16-18. Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror. Proverbs 19, 8 and 9. The one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. A false witness will not go unpunished, and whoever pours out lies will perish. Okay, so like we're just starting to get to know Paul's writings. We got a long journey with Paul's writings, but it's clear as we begin and as we're going through Romans that Paul did not write a letter that is all nuanced and that has a lot of ambiguity. We begin to get a taste for Paul's direct tone of voice used as he spoke to his own people and us about hypocrisy. So essentially Paul said that to condemn another person for the very same questionable behavior that we participate in, that will end up going nowhere. Paul says, since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? But, we can take that as a heavy condemnation. Like he's shaming. But that's not the objective. It's to bring the hypocrisy into the open, name it for what it is so that it can be seen. And in naming it, inviting us to see it and move forward away from it into freedom. He says, don't you see how deeply kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? Doesn't that mean anything to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to pull you toward repentance? So for context, we should be aware that Paul here is talking to devout people of the Jewish faith, a faith that he has been educated in and deeply practiced in. He wasn't talking about concepts. He wasn't talking about things that he didn't understand clearly. But this reality makes this portion of the letter so compelling because as devout followers of Jesus, man, we find the exact same kind of hypocrisy in our own faith and lives. In our own self, how many times have we caught ourselves condemning a person for something that we did? As well, like something we've done. You are convinced, Paul says, that you are a guide for the blind, that you're a light for people who are lost in the dark. And he points out that if we're going to teach people the truth, then we have to be able to teach ourselves. Whew, and that is why we spend time at the beginning and the ending of each week just to have a category of self-awareness, to just be in the habit of catching ourselves, looking at ourselves so that we can teach ourselves. Like if we're going to condemn stealing, then according to Paul, then we have no business stealing. And if we're going to commit adultery, then we have no business committing adultery. We are to be faithful. Paul's point is clear. We can't just become experts on the scriptures and then use them as a weapon if we aren't willing to live into them ourselves. pulses. You're so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. So hypocrisy. And I mean, it's in all of us. We're all capable. It's in all of us. Hypocrisy, though, is wholly unhealthy and unhelpful on a faith journey. And that's something that Paul's making very clear in the opening here of Romans. But there's a larger context that Paul reveals in the last verse from our reading today. And it's hard. It's real hard. The Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you. Stereotyping. Like, that's not new. And it's all over our world today, but it's not a new phenomenon among the human species. This has been going on for a very long time. Because it allows us to group people together. And we do that as human beings. But it allows us to also estrange groups of people from away from us that we condemn wholesale without knowing any of them or anything about any of them. So in Paul's time, the hypocrisy of the Jewish leaders was pushing people away. But the same kind of hypocrisy repels people from Jesus and makes a stereotype of we who love him and do not want to misrepresent him, but we get lumped into the pile because this is what hypocrisy will do. And man, if I have to speak it, I have to include myself, but I speak it out to us as believers. We have a great hypocrisy problem in the Christian faith today. We are not doing ourselves any favors, and we are not honoring the name of Jesus in it. And no one person changes any of that. That's an individual thing. So at least we can take control of our own selves and find it in our own selves and, you know, beat the hypocrisy the best that we can by simply not being that. Because if we are not that, then those who are closest to us in our sphere of influence will know that. And so that we overcome the stereotype, even if the stereotype remains, we just have to not be that. Because it's not going anywhere. We have to smoke what we sell. We have to practice what we preach. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to expose and name the hypocrisy in our lives so that we can rise above a stereotype, so that we can become something true. Lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base. And they're all new, as we know. And if you haven't got the app yet, man, go get it. Grab it. Have it on hand. It's so helpful on so many levels. It keeps track of our progress. Lets us be able to see where we are. As we move through different groupings of the Bible, we get the badges that tell us, like, we've accomplished that. Like, we've accomplished the Gospels. We already got that badge this year. We're moving into the letters at this point. It just helps keep us going and knowing where we are. You can follow along with what we're reading. There's a journal tab there that allows us to just kind of quickly jot some things down when they kind of leap out from Scripture. And we're like, I got to remember that. And then we don't. And then it's like, we're thinking about it and like, I don't even remember what we were talking about or where we even were in Scripture. I was supposed to remember that because it would affect my life, but I don't even remember where it was. Well, the journal feature there helps you kind of lock it in, and anything that gets said, anything that sticks out, anything you need to remember. Because then we can browse back. And it's all connected to a day's reading. So when it's like, yeah, this is what stuck out to me, the scripture is right there. Like, the episode is right there. We can very, very much reconnect to what it is that we promised ourselves we wouldn't forget because we felt like God was speaking. Just little things like that really, really help us on the journey that we are on. But there's so much more. The community section itself is full of so much. The prayer well lives there. And that is kind of been it's all new. And so it's been really, really cool to see that being used so much more since the new app came out. Then there's a watch section where you can see all the different films from the different places that we visit, all of the different book introduction films. There's some compelling, like, parable type devotional films there as well. But then you'll see a record a video section, because in the watch section you'll see testimonials, and that is a place to just scroll through. You can heart and comment different people who have come in and left their 1 minute testimonial about being a part of the Global Campfire community and allowing the scriptures to be a part of our lives. You can leave your video. In fact, I hope you will. It's one of the things that it matters to me. I love seeing every one of those deeply. So check out the community section. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you deeply. If being around the Global Campfire is life-giving, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
IDAB community, this is Mary from North Carolina. It is July the 11th. I just got through listening to the DAB devotional for the day, as well as looking at the video documentary of the journey of Paul and what happened in the Bible. And I'm going to try to get through this without just breaking down in tears. Brian and Jill and family and crew, I just thank you. I've always wanted to visit the Holy Land, and hopefully one day I will get a chance to. But in the meantime, these videos have placed me right there in the midst of it. I felt like I was right there. And the whole time I just began to cry and weep in gratitude for our Savior and Lord Jesus and the work of the apostles to get the gospel to us, and especially the birthplace of Jesus. It just overwhelmed me. So I'm just so thankful and grateful for you all's dedication and love for the body of Christ to do this. And I'm just so thankful that we get a picture of where and what and when happened then. And so I just wanted to thank you all. I just wanted to just express my deepest gratitude for all of this and the community. And what we have here is just God breathed. I pray everybody has a good weekend and a good week ahead. Brian, Jill, Ezekiel, and the crew, love you all. Love you all, DAB community. Always praying for you all. And I love you all. May God bless and enrich you with his presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Brianna from California. I was listening to the July 12th podcast episode and prayers and encouragement, and wanted to encourage Christine, who is in Northern Washington. I will pray for you, but I just, as I was listening, was led to encourage you to even check out the grief group. Sometimes, you know, we attribute grief and grief groups to the loss, the physical loss of someone, but with you being in retirement and so much is changing, it does sound like there is a healthy bit of grief that you are experiencing. And my prayer is that the Lord will lead you, whether to move, whether to stay, whether he will lead you to the new community that he has for you outside of work and outside of the what was and into the what is. And so my prayer is that your heart is open to the Lord leading you and guiding you concerning whatever that new season of life looks like for you. And that maybe it looks like going into the grief group and having an open heart. You never know who you'll meet. You never know who that person or people will be or where they will come from. And so, Christine, I'm praying for your heart that the Lord would strengthen and comfort you during this time and encourage you, and that that he will send his tangible, manifest love through people, new people in this season. Amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Candace from Oregon. I have a very dear friend who lives just a few blocks away from me. We've been very close since the mid-90s. Her husband's sister's daughter has four children, the youngest of which is 30 and seems to be in the throes of death at this point. She has had breast cancer, but that seems to be in remission. She has a brain tumor that cannot be operated on simply because the advantages to that aren't enough for what she would have to pay. It's sounding like she has only weeks to live. There are many, many things going wrong for her, and she is thinking that God must hate her, quote unquote. So, Lord, we pray right now for Josie. We pray, Lord, for your love to come into the room where she is. Surround her with your tender care. I rebuke all foul spirits, all harassing spirits. You leave in the name of Jesus, because this dear one belongs to Jesus. And we claim all that he has won for Josie. And most of all, a peace that passes all understanding. Surround her, Lord, in your love.
Hey, my friends and family. This is Casey, the single-minded plumber. I am calling in today to ask for prayer. My wife and I are going to be starting a motor carrier business, and I kind of didn't want to call in, didn't want to ask for help or anything like that, but I keep talking to God about it and keep asking, am I doing the right thing? And I want his guidance and provision. I'm not very good at that game, at hearing his voice clearly in my heart, but I wanna follow him intently. And about a year ago, when me and my wife were kind of kicking around ideas of this, I did hear his voice clearly. And he said, do what you're thinking, I'll be with you. He didn't say, you're gonna succeed. He didn't say it's gonna be easy. He didn't say you're gonna fail. He said he'd be with me. And so I just wanted to share that with my church family and ask you to pray for me, for our company that we're going to create. And I love all of you guys, and I'm going to keep praying for you. And enjoy the day.
Shalom, 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 Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is July 12th. Victoria called in, would like us to pray for her son who is taking a certification exam for a structural inspector. So we pray, Lord, that you would be with him and guide him and just help him in this place and the test and the exam he's going to take, Lord, that he could use this for your glory. Blessed to be a blessing. You'd like us to pray for your grandson. He has deep emotional wounds. Now he's acting out violently. And you just want us to pray for faith. So we ask that the Lord Jesus Christ would come into your grandson and just calm him and just walk him through this and give you the words to speak to him. And you also would like us to pray for the rest of your children. So we want to lift them up to our Lord and Savior as well. And then there's a settlement case that you have going on. So we ask the Lord to be in that. Paula called in, you have a new job for your son. He lost his job. So we ask that the Lord would give him direction in his life to find a new job. Saved by Grace, your daughter, Grace, prodigal daughter since 2012. And then you last saw your grandson when he's 3 months old and he's 17 years old now. And you have an 11-year-old grandson also, and you haven't seen him at all. So we ask the Lord that we would be in this situation and be able to reunite you with your daughter and your grandchildren. So we want to lift that up, saved by Grace. And Jim called in. You were diagnosed with cancer 10 and a half years ago. And for 5 years, you've been clean. Everything's been good. So we give praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior for that. And on May 3rd, your grandson was born. Hallelujah. And we pray that he will give you long life and happiness. We lift this all up to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And God bless.
Hi, neighbors. It's Lisa, the Encourager. I wanted to call you back and let you know that first of all, I'm doing a lot better mentally and emotionally. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for every one of you all that have been praying for me, because I have felt your prayers so close to me that I can't explain it. Like I was in the pit, the wilderness, as Pastor Brian would say, and I needed those prayers, and they really came at a wonderful time. And I haven't looked back, and I haven't felt that way again. So I know it's all because of you all and many others that are praying for me. And I want to really say how grateful I am, and also let you know that everyone that called in that I've heard, I've been writing down your prayers. So I love you for that, and that encourages me so much. So let me just say, consider it through joy. Thank you. Taken with love. Thank you so much for your prayers and encouragement. I'm continuing to pray for you. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you. One traveling chick from Texas. Corey from Saskatchewan, thank you. Your kindness and your words were very touching. Heather in Tennessee, Mark the baby doctor, thank you. I love your prayers. Cutie from Pennsylvania and or the PA. And then Susan from Canada. Meg, I just want you to know everything you were going through, and then for you to take the time and pray for me. It meant the world to me. Of course, Chrissy from Kentucky, my sister, I love you. And your prayers encouraged me so much.